the inhabitants thereof. This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and you are listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and I want to take just a moment before we get started today to invite you, if you are in the area, we would love for you to come and be with us in any or all of our services. Maybe you're passing through here on vacation during the year, or maybe just looking for a church home. We are located 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. That is off of Highway 105 South, and that is just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. We have Sunday school for all ages. We have a college class as well. Sunday mornings at 10, then our Sunday morning worship service is at 11. Every Wednesday night at 7 p.m., we have a prayer meeting and Bible study, and we are currently studying in the book of Mark, and I am really enjoying preaching and teaching through the book of Mark. So we'd love for you to come be with us. I'm thankful to have Noah in here today. He helps us on the radio ministry, plays a big part in getting everything together and just a lot of behind the scenes work. So Noah, glad you're here today. How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad to be here this morning. And we do want to say welcome to our listeners. We do appreciate our listeners, those who listen in right here on AM 1450 WATA out of Boone, North Carolina. Our listeners on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia. And those on KPGT 89.1 FM, The Truth, out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners, all of our radio stations. And we've been studying a little subject called Heroes of Liberty. We have been doing this since the beginning of the month of August, and just taking a different person every week and looking at their life story, or maybe just a part of their life, and the contribution that they have made towards liberty, not only in America, but we have looked at, we've gone back in history as far as Moses, so we started there, and we have not been going in any particular order, but this week we're going to continue on what we started last week. Last week we didn't really look at an individual, we looked at the beginning in this area of the country, in North Carolina, Tennessee, Virginia, the struggle that the Baptist people had for religious liberty. And so we begin to look just a sort of a general overview of the Baptist people during the time period of the early to mid 1700s, their contributions to our nation's ultimate liberty. And so we just laid a little groundwork last week. We mentioned one person in particular that we were going to begin with, and his name is Titus Lane. Titus Lane is significant in church history. He is significant in American history. He is significant in Baptist church history. And also, he's very interesting regionally speaking, and I'm talking about the region of North Carolina, and then in the colony of North Carolina, there was what was called a Watauga settlement. Of course, we live in Watauga County, North Carolina, and Watauga, once upon a time, was much larger than it is today, spreading all the way over across into what is now the state of Tennessee. So Titus Lane was a principal leader also in the Watauga settlement. Some of the things about Titus Lane that I want to bring out today and share with you. For one thing, he established the first church of any kind. What I mean by that, any denomination in Tennessee. He established the Buffalo Ridge Church, Baptist Church, which is today near Johnson City, Tennessee. Maybe you've heard of Sycamore Shoals, the Sycamore Shoals Hospital down in that area of Tennessee. He established the Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church in 1779. He also fought during the American Revolutionary War. He was a captain. He was present at the Battle of Kings Mountain October 7th, 1780. Maybe you've heard regionally about they were called the Over the Mountain Men. And these men from Tennessee and what is now Western North Carolina, but basically the Watauga settlement, they got together up around where is today Roane Mountain, Tennessee. You've heard of Roane Mountain State Park. And they gathered together. They came over the mountain and went down into King, North Carolina, to fight against the British, King's Mountain, the Battle of King's Mountain. And so we see Titus Lane there. He was also there during the Battle of the Regulators, which I talked about last week, where Governor Tryon tried to wipe out the Baptist settlement in the Yadkin. And so that was called the Battle of the Regulators. So he's in a lot of the early history of our country. But Titus Lane was not always a Baptist. He was christened in St. Paul's Parish. That was in Baltimore, Maryland, or near Baltimore, Maryland. And he was christened as Tidings, such as we might say good tidings to someone. So I don't know if his name got shortened or got changed just a little bit, but he is known today as Titus. But he was christened as Titus Lane. Now, when we're talking about being christened, that means that he was baptized as an infant. His family was a part of the Episcopalian Church in America, or the Church of England, which the Episcopalian is the American branch of the Church of England. Now, when he was a young boy, his family moved from Maryland to North Carolina down on the Yadkin, just known at that time as the Yadkin Settlement. And if you leave Boone, North Carolina, and you head towards Winston-Salem, when you get on the other side of Wilkesboro, you will cross the Yadkin River. And so a lot of the early settlers that came to the mountains of North Carolina came from that area, the Yadkin. Daniel Boone's family came from the Yadkin. That's where he was. And he came through Boone and over into Tennessee and then over into Kentucky. So a lot of good, rich history when we're talking about this area. Titus Lane was married to Esther Bibbin May the 9th in 1743. Now, North Carolina in 1743 was not the Bible Belt. Today, this area, eastern Tennessee, northern Georgia, South Carolina, Virginia, is known as the Bible Belt. And North Carolina specifically is known as the Bible Belt when we're talking about the United States of America. But in 1743, it was anything but the Bible Belt. It was a wilderness. The people that were here were very rough. They were very crude. They were very wild. George Whitefield came through North Carolina on a preaching tour, and he said all he found in North Carolina was dancing. And so the people in North Carolina, they did not take very well at first to the ministry of George Whitefield. George Whitefield actually prayed that God would send a John the Baptist into the wilderness of North Carolina. So it was a wilderness. It was a growing area. A lot of people were coming to North Carolina during that time. They were coming down the coast, and then they were coming down the wagon roads into central North Carolina. The few churches that were here were parish churches or Episcopalian churches, and they were few and far between. But the Church of England at that time was the official state church in North Carolina. And I've talked about that many, many times on the radio broadcast, how that in the early colonies, all, with the exception of Rhode Island, had an official state church. Most of them did not allow religious liberty. So anybody that was not of that particular denomination was a second-class citizen, and in many cases, they were persecuted. They were imprisoned. They were fined. Their land was confiscated. Religious liberty was not something that was today it's just taken for granted, but then it just was not a reality. If you wanted to have religious liberty, you had to belong to the official state church. In North Carolina, that was the Church of England. Now, at this time also, the Great Awakening was taking place in America, and I'm sure that our listeners, you've heard about the Great Awakening. You've heard about the ministry of Jonathan Edwards. And the Great Awakening primarily, well, it started in the northern colonies. It started in Massachusetts. It started in Connecticut. It started in New York. That area of the country was affected first. Jonathan Edwards preached the famous sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. I remember reading and talking about that in English class when I was in high school. And so that's Jonathan Edwards, the Great Awakening, that was taking place. And also, as we mentioned just a few minutes ago, you had the traveling ministry, preaching ministry of a man named George Whitfield. Now, George Whitfield, he was an Anglican, which means Church of England. And he was an Anglican priest, ordained, but he was a renegade. He did not go along with the official church teaching on several things, but the main thing was the message, you must be born again. And George Whitfield, he was the first household name in America. He preached in all 13 colonies. He preached from north to south. He made the route many times, and everywhere he went, thousands of people would gather together to hear him preach. George Whitfield was friends, personal friends and acquaintance with Benjamin Franklin. And so George Whitfield was well known all throughout the colonies. Somebody asked him one time, they said, Mr. Whitfield, why do you preach so much the message, ye must be born again? And George Whitfield said, because ye must be born again. And so George Whitfield helped. Now we're talking, we realize that this is by the blessing of God, not the work of some men getting together and making this happen. But there was a true spiritual awakening that took place in America during the 1700s, the Great Awakening. And then the expanding of that through preachers like George Whitfield and many other preachers during that time. George Whitfield preached in the colony of Connecticut. And in Connecticut, there was a man that heard him preach. His name was Shubal Stearns. Now, this is all leading up to Titus Lane. But you sort of have to know a little bit of the history for it to make sense and to understand the great impact that Titus Lane had on liberty in America. But Shubal Stearns heard George Whitfield preach in Connecticut. Shubal Stearns was, like many other, he was just a nominal member of the state church, but he heard George Whitfield preach, and he came under conviction. He was converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we use a lot of different terms that mean the same thing. He was converted. He was saved. He was born again, but he found new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. He quickly became convinced of Baptist principles. One of the things that George Whitfield preached, he did not preach throughout the colonies, go to the Anglican church and do what they say to do. He said, go to the Bible, go to the Word of God, read the Word of God and do what the Bible says to do. And George Whitfield was even amazed that so many of his converts, or people that were saved under his preaching ministry, were becoming Baptist. And he made the statement one time, he said, all my chickens are become ducks, because those that had heard him preach, they became convinced of Baptist principles, and so they would be baptized, fully immersed in water. And that's why I said, all my chickens are become ducks. He even realized that God was doing something. He probably didn't even understand the full extent of it, But Shoeball Stearns was one of those chickens that became ducks. He was saved under the ministry of George Whitfield. He became convinced of Baptist principles. He was baptized in a Baptist church. He was called to preach by the Lord. And shortly after that, Shoeball Stearns felt called of God to move south. He first came with his family and his brother-in-law, and they moved into Virginia. They were not very long. They were not there very long until they received a letter from someone in North Carolina asking for somebody to come into North Carolina and preach to them. And so Shoeball Stearns felt the call of God to go into North Carolina. He came with his family into central North Carolina, a place called Sandy Creek, which if you know where Greensboro is, it's not very far. Liberty, North Carolina is just outside Greensboro, very close there. And so the place there is called Sandy Creek, North Carolina. Shoeball Stearns came to North Carolina. They founded the Sandy Creek Separate Baptist Church, November the 22nd, 1755. So the Sandy Creek Baptist Church, 1755. Now the Bible Belt is the Bible Belt in large part due to the blessing of God in revival upon the ministry of Pastor Shoeball Stearns, or as he was known at the time, they called their pastors elders, Elder Shoeball Stearns. There was a huge revival out of North Carolina. And if you want to know, like many people who come to North Carolina, and I had this conversation recently with an individual, and they were visiting from another country. And they said one of the things that amazed them was all the churches when they came to North Carolina. And we've all heard it. There's a church on every corner. Well, there's not a church on every corner, but there are a lot of churches in the South. There's all kinds of churches in the South, but primarily there are more Baptist churches than any other denomination. And so in order to understand that, and a lot of people, they don't understand. They may even mockingly comment about all the churches. But all the churches are not here because of splits. Many of the churches are here out of necessity. And in fact, in Watauga County, you can map out the earliest churches. And wherever there was a body of people that settled, they would plant a church in their local community. You have some of the oldest churches in Watauga County. You have Three Forks. You have Zionville. You have Cove Creek. You have Brushy Fork, Forest Grove, Beaver Dam. That's not in chronological order, but what you have is little communities popping up in our early history, and everywhere they had a little community. They had a church. And this is a result of the revival at Sandy Creek. It was a revival that not only produced converts. Now, you look at the ministry of somebody like D.L. Moody or Billy Sunday or somebody like that. They produced hundreds of thousands of converts, but the revival at Sandy Creek produced churches. And these people who were saved, and they were pioneers, and they were moving out everywhere they went. They established a church. That is why the Bible Belt is the Bible Belt, and that is why there are so many churches in the South, because this revival spread north, south, east, west. It spread into Virginia. It spread into South Carolina, Georgia, Tennessee, Kentucky, the Ohio Valley, and all throughout we see the impact of this one revival. And so if you learn the history of Shoeball Stearns and the revival among the separate Baptists, you will know why the Bible Belt is the Bible Belt. Now, what has all that got to do with Tynan's Lane? Tynan's Lane was the first convert of Shoeball Stearns after Shoeball Stearns came to Sandy Creek, North Carolina. In those early years in North Carolina, being a Baptist was an oddity. It was an odd thing. They were, like I said before, they were members of the state church, Episcopalian. It's called in England Anglican, but that's what it was. And so to meet a Baptist or to hear a Baptist preacher was something that many of them had never heard before. Tidence Lane wrote, after he was saved, about his hateful feelings toward the Baptist. He didn't like the Baptist people. He didn't like the Baptist preachers. He wanted nothing to do with them. But when he heard about Shubal Stearns and his ministry, he was curious to go hear this man preach. And I want to read just a little bit from his personal testimony. And this is relayed by a historian named J.J. Burnett, who wrote in 1919, or this was published in 1919. But he's relaying the story of Tidence Lane meeting Shubal Stearns. And Tidence Lane said, "When the fame of Mr. Stearns' preaching reached the Yadkin, where I lived, I felt a curiosity to go and hear him. Upon my arrival, I saw a venerable old man sitting under a peach tree with a book in his hand, and the people gathering about him. He fixed his eyes upon me immediately, which made me feel in such a manner as I had never felt before. My uneasiness increased and became intolerable. I went up to him, thinking that a salutation and shaking of hands would relieve me, but it happened otherwise. I began to think he had an evil eye and ought to be shunned, but shunning him I could no more effect than a bird can shun the rattlesnake when it fixes its eyes upon it. When he began to preach, my perturbations increased so that nature could no longer support them, and I sank to the ground." So, a long story short, what happened in the life of Tidence Lane? He went to hear Shubal Stearns. In fact, I don't think I mentioned it, but he rode 40 miles on horseback to go hear Shubal Stearns preach. Shortly after hearing him preach, he was converted. He was saved. He was born again. He came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And his testimony was common during that day, that this preaching of the Word of God, it disturbed people. It bothered them. We say today, we call that being under conviction. And so he was convinced of the truth of the Bible. He was converted to Christ. He became a Baptist. He shortly moved from the Yadkin to where Shubal Stearns started the Sandy Creek Baptist Church. He moved there. He was called to preach by the Lord. He began a preaching ministry. And for many, many years after that, he labored right alongside Mr. Shubal Stearns and helped in that church, the Sandy Creek Baptist Church, which was, as I said, a church planting ministry. Many, many churches were birthed out of the Sandy Creek Baptist Church, and the Sandy Creek Baptist Church, it became the Sandy Creek Baptist Church Association. And so all these churches, they associated together. Now, concerning Tidence Lane's particular contribution and legacy concerning liberty, Shubal Stearns, as you can imagine, had a huge influence on North Carolina Baptists. Now, he never lorded over them. He didn't tell them what to do, but they had a very loose association of all these churches that were started out of the Sandy Creek Baptist Church. Shubal Stearns was the moderator of the Sandy Creek Baptist Association. And every year, what they would do, they had a yearly associational meeting. And all these churches and people, they would come back to Sandy Creek and they would camp out and they would have just revival services. They would have church meetings. And these church meetings, that's where camp meetings, maybe you've heard of a church having a camp meeting. Where does that come from? This is where it comes from. People would come and they would camp out, literally camp out in the wilderness, and they would have a brush arbor, they would have some kind of shelter, the best they could do in the woods, and they would have preaching, and they would have preaching in the morning, in the afternoon, they'd have meals, they'd have preaching at night, they'd have food, they'd have fellowship, and I mean, That was people's annual vacation. That's what they did. They would go to the camp meetings. So Shubal Stearns and these association of churches, they would come together and they would discuss issues of the day. They would have, like many associations today, they would have representatives. And they'd go and they'd bring up things. And they wouldn't pass laws and say this is how it is, but they would make recommendations. And so people began to look to Shubal Stearns for guidance concerning the civil government and their religious freedom and the brewing American Revolution. All of this is happening simultaneously in America. All this is happening at the same time. Shubal Stearns, preacher, Elder Stearns, what are we supposed to do? We're being persecuted. Our land is being confiscated. We don't think we ought to pay these parish taxes to support the Anglicans. What are we supposed to do? Somebody's horse was confiscated and taken to pay a tax to support a church that they did not believe in, that they did not support. So what were they supposed to do? The revolution was brewing. The war of the regulators was brewing. There was persecution. So they're looking to Shubal Stearns. Mr. Stearns advised them the only way he knew. He recommended that the churches obey the government. Just do what the government said. Do not organize yourselves. Do not resist. Do not revolt. And so that was his advice. Very shortly after that, the association split. They couldn't come to terms over what they were supposed to do concerning the civil government. Now, Titus Lane, where he comes in, he took an entirely different viewpoint. He believed that in order to ever be free and have religious freedom and to be free from social tyranny, and to be free from a state church, he believed it would have to be one. And he began to lead by word and by example. Now, he never subverted Shubal Stearns. They were never antagonistic one towards another. But shortly after that, Shubal Stearns passed away. And after Shubal Stearns passed away, God raised up a whole other generation of pastors and preachers all across the colonies, North Carolina, South Carolina, they begin to spread out all over the place. And God raised up a generation of preachers, and their prayer and their cry was along the lines. Their sermons included many, many times 2 Corinthians 3 and 6. Now where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And they were more liberty-minded, and they began to grasp the concept and the great opportunity that lay before them. And I've said many, many times, if it were not for the Great Awakening in America, our country would have never been successful or maybe even fought the American Revolution. It was that spark of revival that put a taste in people's hearts and minds for true liberty and for doing what the Bible says, going to the Bible for guidance and direction. This new generation of preachers led, you know, Titus Lane. He was right there to pick up where Shubal Stearns left off. Their desire proclaimed liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. They had that pioneer spirit. They had that flame of liberty burning in their hearts. John 8:32, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And so thank God for the ministry and the influence and impact of these early pioneers like Pastor Titus Lane. Thank you for listening. We hope you have a great day. Noah's going to come and give the contact information. We'd love to hear from you. And so you have a great day, and God bless you is our prayer.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church that's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.